What does the Bible say will happen in the end times? Paul gives us a very strong statement about what to expect. 2 Timothy chapter 3, start at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, homosexual, lesbian, and women having abortions, killing their unborn children. That is unnatural. Nature itself shows you how a mother protects the little bear cub or her own offspring. Without natural affection, unnatural affection, homosexual and lesbian, that's what it says in Romans chapter 1. Start at verse 26. In the Bible, God calls it vile affections and unnatural affections, homosexual and lesbian. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind without judgment, to do those things which are not convenient. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul talks to Timothy about the end times. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. In verse 5, he says, having a form of godliness, they might go to church, but denying the power thereof, they won't do the scriptures, which is the power. And he tells us what to do when we see this. From such, turn away. Titus chapter 3 says that after the first and second admonition, reject them. Don't just keep warning them over and over and over. After the first and second admonition, reject them. Titus chapter 3, verse 10, a man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Don't just keep correcting them. After the first and second admonition, just walk away from them. Paul also says that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Just separate yourself from them after the first and second admonition. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he tells us they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he tells us, verse 13, he tells us what will happen in the last day. Are people going to get better or worse? The masses. There will be some saved. But are they going to get really better society, the masses of countries? Here's what Paul says. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I am currently 86 years old, so I've seen quite a few decades of people. From 1940 to present, I've seen integrity basically vanish in the United States. Judgment. The judges can't judge. They can't make up their mind. They can't judge. In the situation of January 6th, where Donald Trump instigated a mass of people to attack the Capitol building, we all saw it. Every one of us saw it. Is there anyone who hasn't seen a replay on TV where this mob, instigated by the words of Donald Trump, attacked the Capitol building? I'm so non-political. I'm very non-political. But that got my attention. People attacking the Capitol building, breaking windows, breaking into the Capitol building to stop the count that they were doing of the current election, to try to overthrow the election. They've debated it since January 6th, and they can't render a judgment. How can this be? They are terrified of Donald Trump. The judges are afraid. The jury's so afraid that some of them won't even serve on a jury. The current trial of Donald Trump is on the subject not of adultery, which he committed, but he is accused of using campaign money as hush money to stop the woman from saying she had adultery with Donald Trump. That's the person who's running for president. How could this be? How could they let an adulterer run for president? I don't think you would have seen that happen in 1940. And in 1936, the King of England wanted to marry a twice divorced woman. And it was against the rules of the Church of England. And the masses of people in England would not have a divorced woman be their queen. So he gave up the throne in 1936 in order to marry this twice divorced woman who wasn't even divorced from her second husband at the time. And he, the King of England, had a mistress at the time he was going with Wallie Simpson. And he gave up his mistress because of Wally Simpson. It's so entangled. But at least in 1940, there was an element of biblical rule. Today, there's not that. It's changed that much. We can date it since 1936, although in France at the time, the morality was so bad. Lerner and Lowe picked up on that and put a line in My Fair Lady that says the French don't care what they do, actually, as long as they pronounce it right. It was open adultery, fornication in France. England had not yet reached open adultery. Today we've reached, haven't we reached everything? In 1960, when I moved to Texas, homosexuality was against the law of the state of Texas. They would have put you in jail had they caught a homosexual couple. Today, they're protected by law. Now, I believe this scripture applies to that exact thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Jesus comes to judge this world and to remove the righteous. When they shall say peace and safety. How open are sins today? Very open. They did these sins back in the 40s, but they didn't talk about them. They didn't tell about them in most places. France did. But in most places, like England and the United States, they hid them. Today, it's not even hidden. Doesn't that show us where we are in time? When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. You may say, well, why hasn't it come? Peter answers that. We have to read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." Jesus says, "I come soon," and it's been 2,000 years. But in the sight of God, it's been only a little more than 2 days since the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And that explains why it delays. It's really not a delay, but verse 9 tells, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come, the end will come, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. One day I was reading that verse of scripture, and God said to me, "You'll never make this earth righteous, no matter what you do. It's the new heaven and the new earth that we look for as born-again Christians. And we wait for the coming of Jesus to remove us from this present earth and take us to that new heaven and new earth." John described it for us in Revelation 21, if you want to read about it. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him," of Jesus, "when he returns, that he will find you in peace, without spot and blameless." Read the Bible. Check yourself by the scriptures, especially the New Testament scriptures. And if you're doing something that doesn't agree with scripture, stop doing it and make yourself do what the scripture says and agree with scripture before Jesus comes. For it is the word that will judge us. Thank you for allowing me to share with you today.